Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin, it's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage. River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Welcome back to the Luck Changers Podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate. Join with me, as always, co-host Tone.
Good evening, boys.
Welcome back, Tone, and moderator AJ.
What up, boys?
What up, moderator AJ? I see you over there on the laptop checking out some lines. Respect on the job, just doing what he needs to do. So we are here, and it's week 7 in the NFL. Last week was a bit brutal. I feel like it was brutal for all sports bettors around the globe. It was just tough. There was a lot of tease lines that we really liked. Teams like the Packers blew it. They looked terrible. The Vikings somehow managed the cover. They tried not to win. There was just a lot of weird games last week. Eagles remained undefeated. Shout out to Gary, big Eagles guy. But, AJ, what do we got going on?
Yeah, like you said, a little bit of a rough week, but, you know, it happens to everybody. Did you want me to go ahead and recap our picks?
Yeah, I feel like we do that before the what did he say.
And then all right.
Perfect.
Well, I'll go ahead and start with Nate. Our guy Nate had 5 plays, 1 teaser, 4 single bets. 8 units were in play. Our guy went 2 and 3, but thankfully the NLOD 3-unit play smacked, so we had 0 units for the week. No units gained, no units lost.
NLOD, 6 straight wins, 6-1 on the year.
Yeah, Broncos +5, covered on the primetime game. You love to see it. Our guy Tone, 6 plays, 1 teaser, 5 single bets. We had 7 units in play. Tone, unfortunately, we went 1-5, and we are down Yikes. 5 units for the week. Falcons +6 did cover, so shout out to the Falcons. Before we jump into our yearly totals, I mean, yeah, give me a little bit of feedback from you guys. What did you guys think about the slate?
It was tough. I mean, like you said, Nate, it was just a challenging week. I don't know. It was the worst week I've ever had on the show, and it's just one of those things that's ebbs and flows of it. Unfortunately, we're just like a couple plays away, a couple inches away. Even, you know, watching that Panthers game, they could have scored there in the red zone a couple minutes ago. They, I think, threw an interception or fumbled the ball or something along those lines. The Dolphins were in the red zone plenty of times. Penalties held them from scoring more. Missed out on that. I was completely wrong about the Browns. I mean,
yeah. Oof.
Shout out Bailey Zappi. He came in, did his thing.
Tom Brady Jr.
It was crazy. I was really disappointed in the Browns. But, you know, man up to it. Like we always say, follow or fade. I'm in the fade zone. I think probably for the first time ever under 50% on the show, which is a challenging position to be in. But it is what it is. I'm going to try to build it back up. If you want to fade me, I'm certainly down with that. And I definitely understand.
Yeah, even the Ravens, I mean, they had no reason to lose that game. A couple overs I took. If you haven't checked out our TikTok yet, go over to Luck Changers Podcast on TikTok. Tone shared a pretty good one about taking the overs this year. So go ahead, check that out. Give us a follow. Give us some likes. My guy Colton, he gave us a nice little comment on our recent post. So shout out to him. Appreciate you, bud. And yeah, it was a tough week, but I have a weird feeling that we're going to bounce back in a big way. They say the comeback is always better than the setback.
That's what they say.
I like that. I like that. All right, so for our yearly totals, our guy Nate is sitting at 22-11 at 66.7%. He's at +21 units on the season. Tone is at 15-18, as mentioned. We're under 50%. We're at 45.4, but we're going to bounce back here. Down 4 units on the season. We're going to get that back this week. Luck It Ins, no units were dropped on a Luck It In last week, so it remains at 4-2 at 66.7%. Luck It Ins +2 units. And 7 weeks in, still no head-to-head. So who knows? Maybe we'll get one this week.
I think we have one this week. I have a weird feeling that we got
one. I also feel like we have one.
Okay, nice, nice. Love to see it. Hopefully we can get on the slate with the head-to-heads. But before we jump to our lines, now that our recaps are done with,
What did he say?
It's what did he say. As always, shout out to our guy D-Say for supplying the trivia for the week. For those listening at home, please feel free to answer in your heads. You know we're going to give the answer at the end of the episode, so we'll see if you can get this right. You know, our guy always tries to keep it relevant. So with that being said, Monday Night Football, we had the Denver Broncos versus the Los Angeles Chargers. And linebacker Alex Singletary for the Denver Broncos finished with 21 combined tackles. The question of the week, who has the most combined tackles in a single game?
Oh, that's a good one.
What did he say?
I feel like it could only be one or two people.
All right. So we will round the horn on that one. But let's go ahead and jump into the Week 7 lines. We have our Thursday night football game to kick us off. And we have the 2-4 New Orleans Saints. They are plus 2 points currently. They're going to be traveling to Arizona to take on the 2-4 Cardinals. Over-under for this game, 44.5 points. What do we like on this game?
So I'm going to go ahead and pass this game. I'm going to try to stay away from, you know, primetime games. They're just, you know, a mystery. It's already tough enough. So if I had to lean, I would love to tease the Saints up to plus 8. I mean, it's hard not to, but I'm going to try to stay away from it. I'm going to go ahead and pass this game.
Yeah, two very underwhelming teams so far in the season. I only can attribute that to them being two of my teams in my 8-team draft this year.
Yep.
It's just love to see it. Yeah, it's the fucking way she goes. But Saints rolled out Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry again this week. Who knows about Jameis Winston? I'm sure he'll end up playing. But on a short week against the Cardinals, both teams are desperate for a win. You don't want to go 2-5. I expected both these teams actually to be in the playoffs. I don't have a play. I would lean the over, but I had to take that off the board just because the way the overs have been this year. So I got to pass this one. It should be a fun Thursday night game finally to watch. It's not a Denver team, so I guess that's something to hang
that's
your
a
hat
plus,
on.
Yeah.
Right.
I like that.
All right. Well, two passes to kick off week 7. Let's go ahead and jump to our Sunday games. Starting at 1 o'clock, we have a pretty good game here. It's going to be a big game for both teams involved. We have the 3-3 Atlanta Falcons. They are plus 6 points. They're going to be traveling to Cincinnati to take on the 3-3 Bengals. Over-under for this game, 47.5 points.
Yeah, 3-3. I think the Bengals are extremely overvalued right now. Yeah, they had a big win last week, but I've seen on a lot of power rankings, a lot of people have them in the top five over the Vikings, who are 5-1, the 3-3 Bengals team, who, I mean, yeah, they got the three best receivers in the league as far as a tandem goes, or a trio, I'm sorry. Hayden Hurst has been playing really well. Joe Mixon, he'll find his own here. But the Falcons, I feel like, have been playing really well.
Solid.
And to be giving them 6 points, I know they're on the road. I don't like this line. I actually could see a push. I have a weird feeling about that, so I'm going to pass. I don't even have a lean.
Yeah, this is a challenging game, and looking at both these teams, they've kind of been, well, honestly, the Falcons haven't really been down, but the Bengals, I feel like they're kind of on their way back. And this is going to be a challenge at home, but if you look at the Falcons secondary, it's arguably the worst in the league. It's one of the worst as far as statistically goes through week 6. So starting to get a couple, you know, bits of data and stats that we can look at, and I'm going to try to, you know, evaluate them. I just think the Bengals defensively are going to be definitely better than the Falcons. Offensively, both teams are solid, but I think Joe Burrow can take advantage of this secondary. And like you said, they have the best, arguably the best wide receiver core in the league. I'm going to take the Bengals -6.
Nice.
I'm going to sell Atlanta high. If you look, they haven't lost at all versus spread this year. They're 6-0, the only team in the NFL. It's hard to go 7-0. You certainly could. Again, I'm just going to try to sell them high, and I might have to do that until they lose versus spread. So I'll take the Bengals -6.
I like that.
Okay, I like that. Our next game up, one of the storylines going into week 7 is Dak Prescott returning back to the NFL, and that's going to take us to this next game. We have the 1-4 Detroit Lions. They're getting 7 points on the road versus the Dallas Cowboys. They're 4-2. Dak Prescott's back. The over-under is 48 points.
This is going to possibly be a pretty solid game. You know, I'm going to go ahead and pass it. I would love to tease the Cowboys down to just, you know, basically win the game. I don't see how they lose, especially with Dak back in that defense. But the Lions are coming off a bye. They're in a pretty good position. Them, as dogs, you know, they perform pretty well historically. So I don't really want to go against that, and I don't want to do any teasers, so I'm going to pass this game. But you obviously love that Cowboys as a teaser leg. So,
yeah, I love the spot the Lions are in this week. Coming off a bye, Cowboys coming off that Eagles game. Dak Prescott got his first week back. The Lions, they play well. Their 1-4 record doesn't really show except for that Patriots game where they were shut out. I think it was a perfect time for them to have a bye after that. Regroup, get a lot of things together, and I'm going to take the Lions +7, 3 units, NLOD.
Oh, nice.
Wow, yes. Very nice.
Whether it's a close game or Cowboys jump out ahead, maybe they don't need to have Dak throw a lot. The Lions are the best backdoor cover team in the NFL by far. Lions all day, yep.
Okay, love to see it. We got our 3-unit NLOD play already in for the Detroit Lions +7. Moving on to our next game, this is a pretty big game for me. We talked about our futures bets, and I have Colts first, Titans second, and this game is really going to set the stage for the rest of that lay that I have. So we have the 3-2-1 Indianapolis Colts +2.5 points. They're traveling to Tennessee to take on the 3-2 Titans. Over on the first game, 43.5 points.
Yeah, so initially I did have the Colts down for a unit when it was 3 points. Shifted to 2.5, so somewhat money's going over to the Colts. Matt Ryan finally had a good game last week. 3 touchdowns, over 300 yards, I believe. I think 358 or something crazy like that. On the road against Tennessee, who I mean, they're coming off a bye themselves. None of us were really high on Tennessee to start this year, the whole offseason. I'd love the Colts to win this game, but I can't do it. That half point is more important than you can imagine. So I'm going to end up passing this one, but heavy lean to the Colts.
Yeah, I agree. When the Colts were at 3, I had it all day, and I think there's one stat that you have to look at and you can't ignore. So I know Matt Ryan has been kind of trash as far as his appearance goes on the field, but statistically he's not. He's actually second in the league as far as passing yards go. Which is kind of unbelievable. He had 389 last game. That was his third 300-yard game of the year. If you look at the Titans, they've given up any more passing yards than any team in the league. So they're the worst secondary statistically as far as giving up pass yard goes.
Oh, wow.
I think the Colts can find a way to take advantage of that. They're starting to get more involved. You got Pittman. Alec Pierce is looking nice. I think Jonathan Taylor could be back. I feel like I talked myself into this, but I'm still going to pass. Ooh. I wanted him at 3, 2.5. I'll probably regret it because they could easily win this game outright. I'm going to take them. Give me the Colts +2.5. Talk myself into it.
Let's go.
Hopefully they win, but if you're listening, you might want to fade that because every time I do an impulse play on the show, I lose. So you might want to fade it.
I mean, even if Jonathan Taylor doesn't play, Jackson went off last week. I had mentioned that Paris Campbell needs to be more involved, and that's exactly what they did. They obviously listened, so I could take a little commission from that there, Colts offense coordinator. Thanks for listening. Jackson, Phillip Lindsay, I don't know. I think even I need JT to play for fantasy reasons, but quick little pat on my back. I had picked up Algier. I don't know how to say his last name from the Falcons. Algier. Ended up dropping him within 5 minutes before 1 o'clock kickoff. Picked up Jackson, one fantasy. That was huge.
Nice pickup.
All right. Indianapolis Colts +120 on the money line. That's easy money.
Oh, okay.
They're in a revenge spot, too, because the Titans came and beat them at their place. So
huge, huge spot. I almost want to take them with
Titans me. Are coming off a bye, but we'll see.
Colts money line. Easy money. All right.
Moderator lock of the week.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
All right. Next up, we have the 2-4 Cleveland Browns. They are +6 points. They're going to be traveling to Baltimore to take on the 3-3 Ravens. Over on the first game, 45.5 points. This is a big AFC North divisional matchup. What do you guys like for this one?
Yeah, I don't see why there's any reason the Browns couldn't cover or, at least keep it close, cover that 6 points. I'm going to pass this game ultimately. When these two teams meet in the divisional matchups, generally they're lower scoring and, they can be within a field goal or so. Who knows this year because the Browns do have that impressive run game, really good offensive line. Obviously the Ravens can score, but I'm going to pass this game. I'm going to watch it from the sidelines. I think I'm done betting on the Browns for a while.
Yeah, initially I had 2 units on the Browns when it was at 7. I can't believe it swayed a whole point already. Can't imagine what the line's going to end up doing closer to Sunday. If you can find it at 7, I'd be all over it. I am still going to take the Browns, but I'm only going to put 1 unit on them, getting that 6 points. I just, like Tone mentioned, I could see this being a field goal game. The Browns need this one desperately. like I said earlier, you do not want to drop 2-5, especially with Jacoby Brissett at your quarterback spot. I feel like this is a big spot, even on the road for the Browns. Got embarrassed last week. You know what? I'll leave 2 units on it. I think the Browns have a real good chance of winning. And if you're giving me 6 points with a team that I think can win this football game, Ravens haven't really impressed me all that much. So, yeah, 2 units on the Browns.
All right, 2 units on the Browns plus 6. Next up, we have the 3-3 Green Bay Packers, and they are giving away 5.5 points. They're traveling to Washington to take on the 2-4 Commanders. Overrunner for this game, 41.5 points.
Man, the Packers just stink. I'm sure they'll turn it around. It's Aaron Rodgers, back-to-back MVP, this, that, and the other thing. But maybe that Davante Adams trade was a bit bigger than we were anticipating. Can't get on the same page with any of his young receivers. Alan Lazard's dropping passes, which you don't want to see. They basically took A.J. Dillon out of the offense, it seems like. Aaron Jones, yeah, he's having a pretty good season. Their defense was what they were riding on all year and gave up 27 points to the Jets. I know they had a special teams touchdown, but I don't want any part of this game. I think the Commanders need a win, especially – are these two more of my teams playing against each other in my drafts? I lose every week. This is good news.
Hate to see it. I'm going to go ahead and take the Commanders plus 5.5. It's a tough bet to make, and again, fade me. Feel free to. But I think these two teams, unfortunately, are closer than we think. You know, offensively, they're both around 17 points a game, pretty similar in total yards. Green Bay does have a better defense, but Washington's played a couple of the more tougher offenses in the league, and, you know, they're not too far behind. They have Taylor Heineke now, which I think could be a fresh start. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there was something going on with you had Ron Marvera versus Carson Wentz, his comments, and it might be a better thing. If we look, I think Jahan Dotson should be back. Logan Thomas should be back. It just seems like they're headed in the right direction. They're ready for a bounce back at home. So I'm going to take them plus 5.5. I don't know if they'll win this game, but I think they'll at least give the effort and hopefully keep it close.
I also like Brian Robinson Jr. having another week in the offense. He scored a touchdown last week. He has a week and a half because they played Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boom. And Terry McLaurin has to do something, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, this could be an over game too. I wish it was a little lower, but who knows? I'm not going to take the over.
Yeah, 42, just those square numbers drive me nuts.
All right, we have the 3-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are minus 11 points coming off of a loss, and they're traveling to Carolina to take on the 1-5 Panthers. Over-under for this game, 40.5 points.
I have to pass this game. You know, I took the Panthers last week getting 10.5 versus the Rams, and they look good, but their offense can't do anything. They had 10 points in the first half, didn't score the rest of the game. They just make mistakes, and I can't get behind this team at all. So I would love to take them getting that many points in a divisional matchup, but I'm going to go ahead and pass this game.
And having that whole Robbie Anderson debacle.
Right.
He's just trying to be Antonio Brown himself, it seems like, and he's just really not all that good. Yeah. They traded him to Arizona, right?
Yeah, he stinks.
Yeah, he's one of those dudes that he'll get like 170-yard touchdown, but he'll also have like 6 or 7 targets and not do anything with them. So just a downfield threat, which I feel like that's not that important as far as the NFL goes as opposed to college football goes. So, yeah, I'm going to pass this one. I just don't know who the Buccaneers are laying 11 points on the road to anybody, even the Panthers, who are arguably the worst team in the league right now. Prayers to our Panthers fans. Prayers to our Baker Mayfield fans. I just, yeah, 11 points is a lot of points on the road, especially with a Tom Brady who does not seem Tom Brady-ish, I guess, is the way
He's in a little funk or something's going on. But he's also 45, too. So.
Yeah, 45, divorced, and all that good stuff.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you there.
All right, next up we have our fishy line of the week. It's the 5-1 New York Giants, and they are getting plus 3 points. They're going to be traveling to Jacksonville to take on the 2-4 Jaguars. Over-under for this game, 42 points.
Yeah, that's the word, exactly the exact word I was going to use, fishy. All last year I was huge into the fishy lines. I don't know if you guys were paying attention at all, but the fishing competitions, those guys cheated, put those lead anal beads in the fish from the Waymore. Well, I'm going to put my lead anal beads into these Jacksonville Jaguars. poor wording. Yeah, I'm going to put a unit on the Jags. It's way too fishy for me to not take it. think it's a good spot for them. They haven't really done much. You know how much I love Trevor Lawrence. Figure it's going to be a low-scoring game. I'm not sold on this Giants team. I don't see them going to six and one. So give me the Jags -3 at home.
Yeah, we're going to luck that in. I'm going to take Jacksonville -3 as well. You know, you have two teams going in different directions, but that's when we can, you know, sell high and buy low. I got to take Jacksonville. That line doesn't make sense. Everyone's hyping the Giants up. They love it. They're 5-1. They're doing great. And they've proved me wrong. You know, I've been thinking they're fraudulent. Maybe they are. I mean, they do have wins over Tennessee, Carolina, Chicago, Green Bay, and Baltimore, which is very respectable.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like this Jacksonville team isn't too far behind them. If you look at their strength, the Jacksonville defense is one of the better rush defenses in the league. Maybe they can contain Saquon. We'll see. As far as the Giants defense, they're pretty easy to run on as well. So statistically speaking, so I think that offensively you can get going for Jacksonville. Defensively, they might put them in position to get going as well. So I'll take Jacksonville -3 and we'll luck that in.
Love to luck it in.
Love to luck it in. All right. Sunday at 4:30. We have the 4-2 New York Jets, and they are getting a point. Also seems like another fishy line. Vegas has no love for New York this week. So 4-2, New York Jets +1, traveling to Denver to take on the 2-4 Broncos. Over-under for this game, 39.5 points.
Man, if I was a teaser man still, I would love to tease the Jets up to 7. I'm going to pass this game. You know, Jets seem to be the better team. It's tough. I'm going to pass, watch from the sidelines, and I'll just root for the Broncos since I haven't been our thing.
Yeah, kind of like the Lions. I love this spot for the Broncos. They continue to disappoint. They had the Chargers right where they wanted them and still couldn't get it done. They're at home, desperate for a win. This is the last team that needs to go 2-5, especially in the stacked division that they're in. I mean, give me the Broncos 2 units. If I'm only given 1 point for them at home, the Jets, I know they're good. Their defense is good. I love Sauce Gardner, the swag he carries, Quinnen Williams. I love Robert Saleh, the coach. Zach Wilson's fine. Breece Hall has been amazing, by the way.
Shout out, D.C.
Yeah, shout out, D.C. Yep, Breece Hall. Awesome year to start. But I think this is the Broncos, the game to win. I could be going right into a push here with a 1 point win by Denver. I think that's kind of what I'm looking at, but yeah, the Broncos are going to win this game, so 2 units.
All right, we have the 1-3-1 Houston Texans. They're getting 7 points, and they're traveling to Las Vegas to take on the 1-4 Raiders. Over under for this game, 45.5 points.
Here it was. This was it. This is the game. The TikTok, I still couldn't throw it away. I'm taking the over in this game. I think the Raiders are going to come out after their bye week, after their big loss to Kansas City. They're going to score at least 35. I just need the Texans to score 2 touchdowns, which I really think they could. This Raiders defense has not impressed whatsoever. Brandon Cooks, Davis Mills, Damian Pierce, I love that dynamic. So I think this game's going to end up soaring over here in the 4 o'clock slate.
Yeah, I love that pick, honestly. That's a really good pick. I'm going to try to stay away from the over-unders, but I might personally take that off the show. I'm going to pass this game, too. I actually like the Texans catching 7. The Raiders just seem to put themselves in positions to give up leads or not score in the red zone. I just feel like I don't trust them for margin. They are at home coming off a bye, so maybe tease them down to win. But if I was going to pick a side, I'd probably just take the points on the road for this Texans. Hopefully their defense can, you know, compete and their offense can keep up as well. So I'll pass this game, but I would lean towards the Texans.
We have the 3-3 Seattle Seahawks +6.5 points. They're going to be traveling to Los Angeles to take on the 4-2 Chargers. Over-under for this one is going to be 51 points.
Man, this is another game that I just think could easily go over. And you know, one thing that's going to happen too is I think I learned or read that it takes about 6 weeks for the books to adjust as far as the line goes. So eventually things are going to start going over. We're getting into week 7 as we go into week 8. The books keep adjusting their lines. The unders aren't going to hit all year. But, man, it's hard not to take unders while they're hitting. So I'm not going to take an over. I would lean it. I mean, the Seahawks defense isn't thing to write, defense isn't anything to write home about, but their offense can score. And same with the Chargers. I mean, this Chargers defense without Joey Bosa is just mid at best. They are getting Keenan Allen back, so offensively they should be stronger. I don't see why these two teams couldn't or shouldn't go over, but I'm going to go ahead and pass.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good spot, too, seeing as though neither team scored over 20 points last week. So I think that could be a huge week for this to go over. You almost talked me into taking the over.
I know. I almost talked myself into it. And you got Justin Herbert, the big DK scandal, couldn't get a touchdown. You know he's going to come out and throw at least two, possibly three this week. You know, Geno Smith and that offense has been tough, too. Ken Walker.
Yeah, Ken Walker.
I want to take it, but I'm going to go ahead and pass.
So if you're not aware of the Justin Herbert scandal, DraftKings Sportsbook had put out a promotion before Monday night kicked off saying –
A super boost.
They were dropping the odds from Justin Herbert to throw at least one touchdown from minus 800 to even odds plus 100. If you guys didn't know, he threw the ball over 50 times with zero touchdown passes. So that was a scandal, I'd say. A lot of people are talking about it on TikTok. I'm sure if you're in sports betting whatsoever, then you've heard of it or had an idea. But if you haven't, that's it. And I seen another one they did with Kevin Durant tonight.
Oh.
Over 20 points. I don't know what the odds were, minus 1,100 or something. They brought it down to even odds. Kevin Durant tonight, as of Wednesday night, to score over 20 points. So keep an eye on that. I could see him going for like 19 and sit in the fourth quarter, something stupid.
I feel like once we're able to play DraftKings, which is coming up very soon, I'm going to have to be a sucker for these bets, though.
Oh,
man,
I am wearing that.
How do I not take Justin Herbert to throw a touchdown? Shit.
Oh, yeah. Easy money. But for me, I want to take this over so bad, but I'll have so many plans. Yeah, just give me the over one unit. It's nice. A unit. You talked me into it. I think after last week, the offense has played so poorly. There you go. The highest total on the board. Give us a unit.
All right. We got another luck it in. Seahawks Chargers over 51. All right. Well, I'm jotting that down. Let's jump to our next game. We have the 4-2 Kansas City Chiefs. They're -3 points coming off of a loss last week. And they're going to be traveling to San Francisco to take on the 3-3 49ers. Over under for this game, 48.5 points.
AJ's game of the week?
No game of the week this week.
Okay. I think this could be a really good one. At the late 4 o'clock slate, the Niners, man, I think Jimmy G obviously is still playing. The Chiefs are -3 on the road. They were just dogs at home against the Bills. It's just I don't want any part of this game. It could go either way. The Chiefs can win by a field goal, or the Niners can go out and win this game. So I'm going to pass this one. This is going to be a fun watch.
Yeah, this is a game I'm going to take. I don't care if it's a sucker bet. I'm taking the sucker bet. I'm taking the Chiefs -3
nice.
On the road. I just think if you look statistically, the 49ers have been the best team as far as allowing total yards. But if we look at the offenses they played Chicago in the monsoon, Seattle, which they only held to 7 points, ironically, Denver, the Rams, Atlanta, which they gave up 28 to, but they end up losing the game. I just feel like Kansas City will be by far the best offense they've played. Kansas City is averaging a league high 29.8 points per game, opposed to the 49ers with only 20.3. They've played 4 of the top 12 defenses as well, and the Chargers when they had Joey Bosa. So it's not like Kansas City is playing trash defenses to boost those stats up. I mean, offensively, the 49ers are kind of middle of the pack. Their strength has been running the ball. But if we look at Kansas City, they've been the 4th best rushing defense to start the year, which is solid because they've went against Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Leonard Fournette, Josh Jacobs. Like, they're going against some of the top running backs in the league. So I just feel like it's a weird line. I don't understand it, but I expect the Chiefs to bounce back, cover on the road, which they've done 2 or 3 times this year. I might eat my words. It might be a sucker bet, but give me the Chiefs -3.
All right. We have our Sunday night football game coming up next, and this is a big game for both teams. Pretty much a make or break. Steelers are 2-4. Obviously, you'd never want to go to 2-5. Miami's at 3-3. You know, they like to finish this week with a winning record. So, Tua's back off of concussion protocol. Pittsburgh's quarterback is out with concussion, so it looks like Trubisky's back. So, we're going to see how that plays out. Anyways, we have the 2-4 Pittsburgh Steelers plus 7 points on the road versus the 3-3 Miami Dolphins. Over under for this game, 45 points. What do we think on Monday Night Football?
Sunday Night Football.
It's going to be a pass for me again. I'm trying to stay away from these primetime games. The Dolphins with Tua back should be able to beat up on the Steelers, but who knows? I mean, the Steelers are coming off a lot of hype, beating the Buccaneers at home. Now they're on the road going down to Miami. It's just not a game I want to mess with. If I had to lean, again, the Dolphins might be a great teaser leg if you're going to get Tua back, but, you know, I'm going to pass this game.
Yeah, the Dolphins played really well against the Vikings. I know the final score was 24-16. Really weird move, by the way. 24-10, Dolphins score a touchdown, and they go for two to make it 24-16. I'm not sure what the total was in that game, but what's the point of going or them being down 24-18 as opposed to down by just a touchdown 24-17? Thought that was really weird. But I'm also going to pass this one. Trubisky's not very good. He proved that he wasn't very good. Miami having Tua back, I hope he's not a little shook when he goes out there, but he's got two of the best receivers in the league right now in Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Let's not go back to our fantasy football projections or anything. We had Tyreek Hill pretty down there, but man, even with Teddy Bridgewater, he 12 catches, 175 yards week in, week out. He's proven that he's something, and Mike Gesicki's getting back into the game. Raheem Mostert has been huge for this team. Chase Edmonds just wasn't getting the job done running the ball. So I love that leg there for Miami that teasing them down to minus one. But I'm not doing teasers for a while. I think I'm like 1-4 or 1-5.
Oh, dude, we're terrible on teasers.
Not good.
I don't know why. It's tough.
All right. Well, that's going to take us to our last game. We have the Monday Night Football game. We have the 2-4 Chicago Bears plus 7.5 points traveling to Foxborough to take on the 3-3 New England Patriots. Overrunner for this game, 39.5 points. Do we have any plays for Monday Night Football?
I do. The last 2 weeks, the Patriots have been playing out of their mind. They shut out Detroit. They stomped Cleveland. They're back at home. But it's Monday night. I think this Bears team can cover 7.5, so I'm going to put a unit on it. I know they haven't been very good, but they seem to play better against better teams. I feel like this is a great spot for the Bears. Not the win, just the cover.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think it's a really good spot for them. Again, we're just buying high, selling low, or selling high, buying low. But yeah, the Patriots are just really kind of gassed up right now, and the Bears are the contrary. So I'm going to pass this game. I might take the Patriots for my survivor pick. I don't know, but I'm going to go ahead and pass ultimately.
All right, and then we have four teams on bye this week. A lot of really tough teams. We have the Buffalo Bills, LA Rams, Minnesota Vikings, Philadelphia Eagles. Those are our teams on bye this week, all four arguably top four teams in the league. Of those four teams, who do you guys feel needed this bye the most?
I would have to say the Rams. They just came by, snuck out a nice solid win at home versus the Panthers, maybe have a bye week, and they can get their shit together and bounce back, so... I'd have to say the Rams, personally.
Yeah, I agree. Real quick, prayers to fantasy owners as well. You got Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Josh Allen, A.J. Brown.
Jalen Hurts.
Cooper Kupp.
Dallas Goedert. It's tough, yeah.
But I think quite the opposite for the Bills, Vikings, and Eagles. I think that's the last thing they wanted was a bye week. They're all playing so well right now. They want to keep that momentum up. And I just, with 18 weeks, 17 games, it's still early to have a bye week.
So early.
So I think the Rams needed it, but the other teams are probably dreading it a bit.
Fair enough. All right, so that's going to wrap up our Week 7 lines. Before we jump to our DKs for the week, let's go ahead and discuss our recap picks for the week. We'll start with Nate. Nate, you have 7 plays, no teasers, 7 single bets, and we got 11 units on the line. What do you got this week?
Yeah, like you mentioned, 11 units, my biggest unit total on the season. First off, we'll start out big. I got the Lions plus 7 as my 3-unit NLOD. The Browns plus 6 for 2 units. I got the Jags minus 3. The Broncos minus 1 for 2 units as well. The Texans Raiders over 45.5. The Seahawks Chargers over 51. And the Bears plus 7.5 on Monday night.
All right. Best of luck, brother.
Appreciate it.
Tone, we have 6 plays. no teasers. Six single bets for six units in play. What do you got lined up for this week?
So I have the Bengals -6, the Colts +2.5, the Commanders +5.5, Jacksonville -3, Seattle and the Chargers over 51, Kansas City -3.
All right, and then we do have the Luck It In, which is back this week. We have two plays, two straight bets for two units. The boys are living the Jaguars -3 and the Seahawks Chargers over 51. There's our Luck It In, boys. And again, no head-to-heads.
Damn.
I really thought we were going to have one this
Maybe
week.
Next week. Maybe next week. We'll see. I feel like last season we had a decent amount. It was a steady race to the end, and we're sitting at 0-0. So we'll see if next week is the week for a head-to-head. Let's go ahead and jump to our DraftKings for Week 7. Nate, I believe you came in first last week. Is that correct?
I did. First last week and second the week before. So
okay.
Hanging in there.
So you're on fire. Check out Nate's picks. We were watching the Browns game in the airport, and I was in second place. Jumped on the airplane, got off the airplane, and I finished in 12th.
Ooh.
That really stunk. So I don't know. Tone, how did you do? I didn't get to really...
I didn't do too hot. I honestly don't know what I finished. I just knew I was out of the money. So okay. I think I was playing around like 11.
Okay.
All right. Who knows, honestly.
Fair enough. Well, then let's see what we got this week. Nate, do you want to kick us off with QB?
Sure. Why not?
All right.
So I'm starting out with a 4 o'clock game. I've noticed that's kind of been my strategy. I don't know why. It makes no sense. No rhyme or reason. Just I love having people still yet to play at 4 o'clock. I'm going to take Derek Carr against Houston. He's only 5,900, so I think that's pretty good value for a guy who really needs a win this upcoming week. 1-4, needs a win. I think he's going to go out there and get it.
All righty. Can't go wrong with that. With my quarterback, I'm going to go with Geno Smith. He's 5.6K. Again, it's just kind of feeding into that over that we like with the Seattle Seahawks and the Chargers. Geno Smith has actually played pretty well this year considering, you know, he's been a top 10 quarterback statistically, and this Charger team can definitely give up some yardage, so I'll go ahead and take Geno Smith for 5.6K.
Very nice. For my first running back, I got to ride the hot hand. It's Leonard Fournette, 7,700. He seems to be the only guy who's running this offense. Tom Brady can't really get it to his receivers this year, it seems like. But he can throw it to Leonard Fournette pretty well, and he's just running crazy. So at 7,700, I'll spend my money. Give me Leonard.
Very nice. With my running back, I'm going to go with Josh Jacobs, 6.5K. He's actually quietly been one of the better running backs this year. He's third in rushing yards. He hasn't gotten in the end zone as much as I'd like, but maybe that changes this week versus that Texans defense. So I'll go ahead and take Josh Jacobs, 6.5K.
Yeah, for my second running back, it's a bit of an odd one. He only has 5 carries all year, but he's dynamic catching the ball. It's Dontrell Hilliard from the Tennessee Titans. He's 5,000. He's got 3 receiving touchdowns this year. He gets around 4 or 5 targets every game. And he's a good backup for Derrick Henry, perfect for passing downs. He's going to get receptions. So give me Dontrell Hilliard at 5,000 coming off that bye.
Very nice. With my second running back, I'm going to stay in the same game and take Damian Pierce, 6.4K. Pierce has been doing fantastic as well. Right now he sits 8 as far as rushing yard goes, but he's played one less game than everyone above him except for Josh Jacobs. So he's really turned it on. He's been doing pretty well. Another rookie. So I'll test my luck with him. This Vegas team, defensively, you know, again, they're really nothing to write home about. So I'll go ahead and take Damian for 6.4K.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it in the same game. For my wide receiver one, I feel like I have to do it if I have Derek Carr. I got to get Devontae Adams at 8,700. Dude's pushing over cameramen, so I think he can have a big bounce-back week. Misdemeanor, this, that, and the other thing. So I think he needs a big week kind of to clear up his reputation, forget about everything that just happened, come out, play football, and have a really good game.
Very nice. With my first wide receiver, I'm going to go with DK Metcalf, 6.6K. I'm going to go ahead and pair him with Geno Smith. DK's actually been doing better than I thought. Unfortunately, I traded him at the beginning of the year for Chase Edmonds.
Oof.
I thought I had a really deep wide receiver core. Didn't turn out to be that way. And I was down on DK and the Seahawks team, but they've proven me wrong. Offensively, they've been really solid. He's been a top receiver and a big target on this team. So I'll go ahead and take him for 6.6K.
Very nice. I'm going to stay in that Houston-Las Vegas game for my wide receiver, too. It's Brandon Cooks. Only 6,000. continually think he's undervalued. I know the numbers haven't been there the last couple weeks, but like Tone mentioned, this Vegas Raiders team's defense is just not very good. Nothing to write home about. So give me Brandon Cooks. I think he's going to have a huge game. I'm going to put him on every single one of my DKs.
Very nice. With my next wide receiver, I'm going to take T. Higgins, 6.4K. He appears to be back healthy. Last week, he led the team in targets. He just has big play potential always. I mean, Chase is awesome, but he costs, you know, maybe a couple grand more sometimes. So I'll go ahead and take the cheaper option with a high ceiling. Give me T. Higgins, 6.4.
Very nice. For my third receiver, Tone actually mentioned him earlier in the show. It's Alec Pierce from the Colts. A great check down receiver, great possession receiver for Matt Ryan to have. Him, Michael Pittman Jr., Paris Campbell, sorry. Jonathan Taylor coming back. But I think Alec Pierce is slowly becoming a huge point in this offense. And at only 4,600, he's still really good value. So give me Alec Pierce.
Yeah, we can luck that in.
Oh, nice.
So I actually have him in my flex. But like you said, he's really starting to become a focal point of this offense. He had a touchdown last week. Mm-hmm. He's had 7 and 9 targets his last couple games, 6 before that. So he's increasing his target. He's increasing his role in this offense. And surprisingly, Matt Ryan's second in the league in passing yards. So obviously they're throwing the ball out there, and he has some potential. So I'll luck that in, 4.6.
Very nice. Yeah, for my tight end, I got David Njoku. Seems like he's the only guy that Jacoby Brissett can throw to in his chest. So he's averaging around 11 points, fantasy points per week. And I mean, in a must-win against Baltimore, I think Njoku needs to step up, and I think he has a big game at 4,200. Give me David Njoku.
Very nice. With my third wide receiver, I'm going to go ahead, and I believe he should be back this week. A guy that was really a stud the first few games, so he got hurt, and Jahan Dotson. So they got a quarterback change. Hopefully he can come back. Maybe they can get something going with this against this Green Bay defense. But at 4.2, it's one of the lower prices you may see him at, so I'll take a gamble, take him as my third wide receiver.
What does he have, 3 or 4 touchdowns in his rookie year? But I think that's huge value. For my flex, I went with another tight end. Seems to be, I don't know, my strategy lately. And it's Gerald Everett. He's only 4,000 in one of the highest total games of the week against Seattle. I think he gets a lot of targets, a lot of catches. I know Keenan Allen's coming back, but how healthy is he really going to be? Maybe even takes another eye off Gerald Everett. So in my flex, give me Gerald Everett, 4,000.
Very nice. With my tight end, I'm going to go with Mark Andrews, 7.4K. Nice. He's just been the best tight end in the league so far. He gets a ton of targets, a ton of respect on that team, and Lamar seems to enjoy him as his favorite target. So I'll go ahead and take him for 7.4K.
Love it. So this week, I went high on my defense. I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense against Carolina. They're 3,900, but it seems like that's the only way they're going to end up winning football games. I can see a defensive touchdown, maybe a shutout. So I expect a big game from this defense. It's the only way they're going to even make the playoffs is if Tom Brady pulls the Peyton Manning and hops on the defense's back. So Buccaneers defense, 3,900.
Very nice. I'm going to go the other way in that game. Give me the Panthers defense.
Oh,
the bottom of the barrel, 2.2K. Yeah. I mean, their defense hasn't been terrible this year. It's just their offense is terrible. And offensively, the Bucs can get it going, and they may do that this week, but they haven't been anything to write home about as well. So I'll take the Panthers D, 2.2K.
Very nice.
All right, before closing out with the what did he say, let's go ahead and recap our DK roster. So, Nate, go ahead and hit us with your full DK roster for Week 7.
Yeah, I got you. Real quick, I got quarterback Derek Carr, 5,900. Leonard Fournette is my running back, 7,700. My other running back, Dontrell Hilliard, at 5,000. Wide receiver 1, Devontae Adams at 8,700. Wide receiver 2, Brandon Cooks at 6,000. Wide receiver 3, Alec Pierce at 4,600. Tight end David Njoku at 42. Then I got my flex is Gerald Everett at 4,000, and my defense is Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 3,900.
Very nice. At quarterback, I have Geno Smith, 5.6K. Running back, Josh Jacobs, 6.5. Damian Pierce at my RB2, 6.4. My first wide receiver is DK Metcalf, 6.6. Then I have T. Higgins, 6.4. Jahad Dotson, 4.2. My tight end is Mark Andrews, 7.4. I have Alec Pierce, 4.6 at flex. Then to round it out, the bottom of the barrel defense, the Carolina Panthers, 2.2K.
Very nice.
All right, that's our DK rosters for week 7.
What did he say?
Uh-oh, here we go.
And before it closes out, we have our what did he say trivia question of the week. This was asked at the top of the show, so for listeners, hopefully you answered the right person here. I'll go ahead and reread the question for you guys, and we'll get your answers. Monday night, Denver Broncos linebacker Alex Singleton finished the game with 21 combined tackles. Our question of the week is, who has the record for most combined tackles in a single game?
I don't know. My mind initially goes to like Patrick Willis or Ray Lewis, but I'm going to take it back a little further. I'm going to guess Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to guess A.J. Hawk.
Oh, ooh, nice. I like that. Nice Ohio State player. Yeah. All right. Real quick, I forgot to make mention that it was 3-3 going into this week, so we had a tie ball game. Our guy DC is going to go up 4-3 on this one.
Oh, hate to see it.
Yeah. So it was not either of those two guesses. It's not going to count, but I'll let you guess one more time. It was someone a little bit more recent, definitely.
What do you mean by a little bit more recent?
2013.
Okay. 2013. It wasn't one of those guys I mentioned, right?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Oh, the Panthers, Luke Kuechly.
It was Luke Kuechly.
Nice,
yes. Yeah, he had 24 combined tackles on 12-22-13 versus the New Orleans Saints.
Okay. Yeah, that was a good one. Good question.
That was a good one.
Yep.
What did he say?
All right, shout out to our guy, D-Say. So that's going to be D-Say 4, LCP 3.
We'll bounce back next week.
And we'll see if we can bounce back next week for sure. So that'll wrap up week 7. You know, like we said, rough week last week, but we're going to have a big bounce back this week. Tons of units on the play. What do you guys think?
I'm excited to get back to it again. I am in the fade zone, so feel free to fade me. I'm completely transparent with it. I'm hoping to bounce back. I'm still trusting my system. The thing is funny though, and I'm in a pick'em league. I'm 70% in that. Oh, unfortunately, yeah. In the show, I'm 45. So I'm 21-9 in that. On the show, the line changes. I don't take the same thing all the time, and it's a rough patch. So because I am 21-9 in that, I'm still believing myself and my process. But it's just a rough patch. It happens to everyone.
Oh yeah, it's not easy. Sports betting is not easy. It's not meant to be easy. You're not supposed to have this as your full time job, but. Like I mentioned, time and time again, Tone had one of the wildest finishes to a betting year last year as far as his percentage goes. I think he was close to like 80 towards the end of the year, like the last like 7 weeks. So I see it coming, my guy. It's definitely in there.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, Vegas is still finding out their odds. So how are we supposed to find them out? But yeah, I have a weird feeling that we're going to absolutely smoke this week. Shout out to AJ putting on a really cool party this weekend. Have a fun Halloween time.
Yes.
Hope you guys all enjoy a safe, fun Halloween. If you're going to any parties, have a fun, safe time. If you're still listening, we do appreciate you guys through and through. If you haven't yet, check us out on all our social medias, Luck Chasers Podcast. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. On TikTok a lot lately, so go ahead. If you want to see some funny videos or you want to see our picks before the game starts, go ahead and give us a follow. For your host, Nate, co-host Tone, moderator AJ, we are the Luck Changers, and we are out.
Adios.
Moderator out.
Peace out.
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin, it's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage. River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.